This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Well, let's call him Shlomi. It's possible his name really is Shlomi. I'm just using Shlomi as a cover-up. Anyway, Shlomi grew up on one side of McDonald Avenue, where the F train was rolling and rolling. As a matter of fact, he even remembers when the F train was the D train. Anyone remember that? Many, many years ago. But it still made... Right. The F train was the D train, the D train was the B train. Anyway, but the F train or D train of 40 years ago and the F train of today, what they have in common is they both make a lot of noise as they roll on McDonald. And he said he grew up that way, and after a while you kind of get used to it. You kind of get used to the train rumbling through your middle of the night. And he got married, he moved away, he found an apartment on the other side of McDonald Avenue. So the only difference was, as he was growing up, he heard the noise of the southbound train, and as years went on later, primarily he heard the noise of the northbound, Manhattan-bound F train. But basically, every 5 minutes a train, and remember, train in both directions, and in the middle of the night, every half hour a train. So I remember I once came to his house and said, how do you deal with this? He says, I don't even hear it. But I can prove to you that he did hear it because later he moved to Muncie. Mm-hmm. You don't hear it? You hear it? Forgot you forgot something. Mm-hmm. But later he moved to Muncie. Maisie, everything okay, Maisie? He moved to Muncie and he said he could not sleep at night. I said, why can't he sleep at night? He said he needed that noise. He was so used to that noise every 10, 15 minutes that the silence was deafening. This goes back a while. These were the days when Muncie was quiet. Mm-hmm. So I remember once I went with the girls' school in Los Angeles. We went up the top of these mountains someplace in L.A. And it was really, really high up somewhere on the mountains. And I don't know, I remember where it was, but there's like nobody there. And I just went out and I just said to my wife, listen to the quiet. It was the loudest quiet I ever heard in my life. Just nothing. Nothing there. Just no civilization. It was an amazing. You know, you try to wonder what that was. So he said to me, the mamish could not sleep until he went to a professional. I'm not sure, a professional sleep doctor, sleep clinics, whatever these places are. I told him, I can give you a good drasha that solved the problem of sleeping. But anyway, I have to go to a sleep clinic. The places you can go and be out like a light in seconds. So one of the professionals that was working with him explained to him that subconsciously the fact that the train came by every 30 minutes in the middle of the night or 20 minutes. It depends. If you're waiting for a train, it's 30 minutes. If you're not waiting, it's 20 minutes. But he said psychologically what happens is subconsciously, deep, deep in his inner conscience, there's a certain security that he knows what's going to... In other words, you know every 20 minutes there's a train and every 30 days you pay your bills and every... It's like a security in life. He feels, he knows what's coming. When you feel you know what's coming, it comes along with a certain security, a certain, shall we say, menuchas nefesh. And once he no longer heard the train every 30 minutes, so this mental health professional told him that what's happening in your inner conscience, I love when people know what's happening in your inner conscience, is that you no longer have that security. And if you no longer have the security of the train coming every 30 minutes, what else is changing in your life? And that, within itself, created some level of fear or some level of internal anxiety within him. So I thought that was very interesting. In the Zohar HaKadosh, there's a story, Melech Biderman quotes it, of the Yanuka. There's a famous child, the Yanuka, that was a very big Baal Ruach HaKadosh. And his mother sent him to get a bracha from the Tanoim. And he came back, and the mother said, did you get the bracha? He said, no. And she asked the child, why not? He said that those Tanoim that he went to get the bracha from, they missed the Zman Kriya Shema this morning. I can tell they missed the Zman Kriya Shema, and I can feel it in the air, in the aura around them, that they missed the Zman Kriya Shema. I wasn't comfortable getting a bracha from them. It just bothered me. So, I don't remember exactly what the Zohar says, but somebody went back to them and said, you, Chavra, missed the Zman Kriya Shema this morning? They say, yeah. They said, we were Isaac and Achnosas Kaula, and it was emergency, and we paskined Isaac b'mitzvah, potter minamitzvah, and they couldn't push it off, and yes. Yes, they didn't say Shema. So here's the kasha that they ask. If the kid felt that they missed the Shema because he had this sensitivity, this Ruach HaKodesh, so why didn't he also feel that they had the Achnosas Kaula? So he should have known on his own that they had the mitzvah of Achnosas Kaula. Why didn't he feel that along the same lines? They say it that from the Slavita, when he came out of prison, he asked his Einikel the story, the mice, and this is what the explanation that's given is. There's two types of mitzvahs, as you know. There are mitzvahs that say shehazman grama, mitzvahs that say that are contingent on time, and there are constant mitzvahs. Kriya Shema is contingent on time. Even though women are mechuyev in Kriya Shema, as it would be one of the several exceptions to the rule. What happens with a mitzvah that's contingent on time is, let's say I say Shema. Let's say you daven a ma'ariv tonight and you say Shema. Well, let's make it simpler. You wake up tomorrow morning and you say Shema and you make the Zman Kriya Shema. Once you make the Zman Kriya Shema, if someone was able to look at you, he would say, ah, Shema. It's on you, it's over you. And that Shema stays on you until it's night. It's time for the new Kriya Shema. Then poof, vacancy. You have to fill it up again. When you say the Shema at night, again, that Shema comes back to you, whether it's the Malachim that are created, it's some internal something that's happening. And that goes until the morning where it goes away and awaits you to say Shema again. Now that's with a mitzvah saseh that is man grama. So, for example, Chanukah, there's something happens when you light Chanukah lech. They came to the Mishgiach, he says the story, they came to the Chayz of Lublin about a certain person. There was a very big rush in the town, and they said they warned him, and maybe the Rebbe should, do something about him. And the Rebbe looked at the Kvittel, and the Rebbe said, Ashaintan Allah Ilamas, he shines in all the heavenly spheres. He said, how could it be? The man is a big rush. Well, it turned out that as the Rebbe was looking at the Kvittel, at that moment he was lighting Chanukah. So that blitz took effect. So what happens is when you light Chanukah, that Chanukah stays with you till next Chanukah. Next Chanukah, when you have the next Chiyuv, it goes off. Or maybe that's true for each day and however it works. Now, Hachnasas Kala is a constant. Because there's no time for Hachnasas Kala, every time is for Hachnasas Kala. Even on Shabbos, you raise money for Hachnasas Kala. There's never a time that now's not the time for Hachnasas Kala. I tell you the story often that the Chassam Sofer, before he went to Kol Nidre, was working on a certain shidduch. He negotiated the nitty gritty becomes very complicated. Negotiated the fine financial details of the shidduch and even took upon himself to pay. It was like a cowley, Simon, and then he came to Kol Nidre. The Gabbai said to the Chassam Sofer, it's late. He didn't point to the clock because there was no clock in the Chassam Sofer. But he said, no. Imagine saying that to the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer said two things. On his way to Shul, he said, Baruch Hashem, I have the mitzvah of Achnasas Kaala. Now we can go to Kol Nidre. To the Gabbai, he said, they don't start Yom Kippur and Shemayim until I start, so we're not late. But there's no time where it's not the time for Achnasas Kaala. So therefore, with that type of a mitzvah, once you fulfill the mitzvah of Achnasas Kaala, it never gets deposited in the bank, so to speak. Now, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is on your forehead. Once it comes the next Zman Kriya Shema, morning, night, night, morning, it comes off you, it gets deposited in the bank. Yerach Chaim B'Kodesh says this concept. And it waits. Chnosis Kala never gets deposited. It stays with you. The Schus stays with you, ongoing. So the kid saw the Chnosis Kala on the face of the Tanoi, but he had no idea when the Chnosis Kala began, because it's not limited to a time. It doesn't expire. So when the Yanuka came and he saw the Achnasas Kala, but he didn't know that was from this morning. Because the Achnasas Kala doesn't go away. It could have been from a year ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Masha'enkin, that he didn't see the Shema, so he knew that they didn't say Shema in the last period, in the last time period. Now, so trying to understand that. So we said for some people, the rumbling of the F train relaxes them. You go to Muncie or Lakewood, there's no F train. There may be other things that keep you up at night in Muncie or in Lakewood, but not the F train. And there's a certain sense of security that you have. Really, if you think about this, what made him feel secure is that he knows every 30 minutes there's an F train. And just like he knows every 30 minutes there's a train, he feels that things in life are going to take their course also. If we really understand that, that's what tefillah is. We know that there's shachris tomorrow morning, every day of our lives. We know there's Kriya Shema in the morning. We know there's Shabbos. And our lives work around it. If you ask a little kid, like a 2 or 3 year old, you know, you're going to Eretz Yisrael when? In 2 weeks on Tuesday. He doesn't know what you're talking about. We're going on January 23rd. He doesn't know what you're talking about. The kid usually says before Shabbos or after Shabbos. When is my birthday party? Before Shabbos or after Shabbos? His the only time that he understands is Shabbos. He knows Shabbos, there's a major change. When it goes from Shabbos to Shabbos, his parents go away for Shabbos, he's frightened. He says, next Shabbos you're going to be home? We're coming home on Tuesday. It doesn't mean anything. He doesn't understand what that means yet. Now, there are times in our life where we don't know when the next tefillah is coming from. Just like internally or subconsciously, he no longer hears the train every 30 minutes. Things change in our life. There's a certain cycle in our life. There's a certain rhythm in our life that gave us comfort. And that rhythm is no longer there. There's a loss. And that's the inyan that Yaakov Avinu was misaking tefillas Maariv. Maariv is the tefillah to reinstate the rhythm when you don't know where the rhythm is coming from. Shachris and Mincha is a constant. It's a given. Maariv is the time of life I don't know. In my life right now, I don't know when the next paycheck is coming. In my life right now, I don't know when a Shalom Bayis issue is going to be resolved at home. A legal issue, whatever it is, Rahman al-Islam, people shouldn't be tested. That's what Maariv is. Maariv is just because you don't hear the train coming. Trust me, there's a train coming every 30 minutes. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't forget about you. And that's the inyan of Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Tfilas Arvis is voluntary. Is Tfilas Arvis voluntary? What does that mean? So we said, Achshav, we were mekabel it as a chayv. Even though it's voluntary, we do it anyway. Right? We forced you to volunteer. So the etzim tefillah is a different kind of tefillah. Reb Chaim explains that. There's a difference between a tefillah's chayva, a tefillah we're obligated to daven, as opposed to a tefillah's rishus, which in essence is a tefillah's rishus. And I'll give you an example. This is what Reb Chaim says. Suppose you started to daven shachris, and in the middle you remembered you daven shachris already. Right? You're up to v'lamol shinim, and you go, this sounds familiar. I daven shachris already. It's my second one today. What do I do now? Did it ever happen, Moshe, to you? No. You don't know. You don't remember. I don't know, but I get up in the morning. Well, you get up in the morning, yeah. That's it. You get up in the morning, you daven. What's all right? That ever happened? You started davening mincha and you realized you davened already? Rafal, did that ever happen to you? Mm-hmm. Never, huh? Yeah, anyone?
Almost happened to me.
Well, there we go.
I finished Ashrei and then I just realized.
Oh, well, Ashrei you can say a couple. Yes, it happened. Yeah,
I know, I know. I wasn't in the...
You can say Ashrei all day.
Very
I
mean.
Close. Shemon Esrei. Yosef, ever happened? Yeah. I don't remember if it ever happened, right. Okay. So suppose you're up to, right? People say, I have memory loss. I went to the doctor and he told me, right? He gave me senior moments. He gave me 3 proofs that I don't have memory loss. And what are they? He says, I don't remember them. I don't remember what he told me, but I'm telling you, but he gave me 3 proofs. He proved it to me that it was. Okay. Did it ever happen to you that you started davening and you realized davening already happened? Yeah. So suppose you started davening and you realize you davened mincha already. Okay? So. Okay, I hear. Well, some people wake up in the afternoon, so for them, that's. Their mincha is like the equivalent of your shachris. So, now, technically speaking, you can daven a tefillas nedava. You can donate a tefillah. Just like there are certain karbanis you can donate. I said, technically speaking, you can decide, I want to daven another mincha as a tefillas nedava. No, we don't do it. The reason we don't do it is very simple. Because if you start davening and your mind wanders off in la-la land, your excuse is, listen, Hashem, what do you want from me? You're making me daven. I wasn't ready to daven. I had to. But if you're volunteering a tefillah and then you're not mechaven by the shemais, that you really get patched for that. Like, who asked you? Why'd you come into it?
Isn't there also a thing like adding to the mitzvah?
No, but you're allowed to. You're allowed to be Tefillas Nedava. I'm saying there is a structure of Tefillas Nedava. So we don't exercise that structure because then how can we answer not being Mechavim Mishmasmas? But what would the case be if, let's say, I'm up to Balam Al Shinim and I say, I said this already. Could I finish the rest of the Shmoneh Esrei as a Tefillas Nedava? So it says, no, you can't. The reason you can't is because you can't connect a Chayiv to a Nedava. It doesn't go. You can't have a half, the back of your car is a Buick and the front is a Chevy, the way I had once. It was schmolzen together in a junkyard. You can't, Chas v'Shalom, not putting it. You can't start a Chayiv and finish a Nedava.
But it wasn't a
Chayiv. What?
It wasn't a Chayiv.
But you started it thinking it was a Chayiv.
So the Shaila is, what about Ma'ariv? So Ma'ariv, this is Machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid. And Reb Chaim says, what's the Machloikis Tolian? Is what does it mean, Tfilas Avris is Rishus? But today we will makabel it as a Chayiv. Does that mean because we accepted upon ourselves, that we always daven Ma'ariv, that Tfilas Avris loses its inherent core as a Tfilas Rishus, it now becomes a Tfilas Chayiv. If you hold that way, then by Ma'ariv you can't either finish the Shmoneh Esrei. But the Rambam or the Ravid, but the Rishon that holds that by Ma'ariv you could is because he holds that initially Tfilas Avris is Rishus, it's voluntary. Even though today we say we were makabel it upon ourselves as if it was a Chayiv, as if you have to, so it says if you have to be Menadei v'Tfilah. But be etzem, it's still a rishus. So the point being is that the nature of Ma'ariv is different. The Shachris and Mincha, you know it's coming. It represents the F train in your life. Now, you don't live next to a train station. I mean, there are certain things in your life. You see the mail every day. You wake up, you say good morning to your wife, to your husband. There are certain things that gives us the stability of life. That's the Shachris and the Mincha. There are times in our lives where, Rachman al Islam, we lose that stability. The rhythm in our life that kind of tells us things are going to be okay, everything is going normal. There's like a dark hole. I don't know where tomorrow I'm going. That's the hole that Yaakov Avinu was in. Eliphaz stole everything he had. He had nothing. Esav is trying to kill him. He has to deal with the greatest swindler in the world, Lavan. And somehow Bill Klal Yisrael. And he had nothing. He had not a red cent to his name. He didn't know where his next cookie is coming from. So this, Yaakov said, even though I don't know where it's coming from, it's part of the Hashgacha. Part of the Hashgacha is that I don't know where my next meal is coming from. And that's where he created Tfilas Avris. And that's the deeper meaning of Tfilas Avris Rishus. I don't know. I don't know where it fits in. But Hashem, you have the rhythm in my life. You pick it up. I'm sleeping in Muncie, you give me the Menuchas HaNefesh, take it over. That's what Ma'ariv is. You know, on invitations it says, Kabbalah's Ponim at 6:30, Chuppah at 7:30. But everyone knows that Kabbalah's Ponims are never at 6:30, and the Chuppah is never at 7:30. I'm talking about for us over here. For somebody that he had his like second cousin from coming from Kansas, you know. And they said, please come dress like everyone else, just do what everyone else does. And so Shinebuch comes at 6:30, because that's what it said. And he walks in and she's sitting there with an open pocketbook and people are throwing in change. I said, what are you doing? Well, the other three old ladies were doing that, so she thought that's what you're supposed to do. No. She's not sitting there before everything else. They said, No. Okay. So Reb Shlomo Zalman once came, one of his mechatanim, they said chuppah 6:30. 6:30, he wanted to make the chuppah. So Reb Shlomo Zalman told him, we can't lie. It says 6:30, we can't make it 6:30. Right? Because that's not what we do. Not everything makes sense, but there's a mahalach. Somehow there's a mahalach. So there's a famous story. So it's stories with Rishonim, you know, what the Makairis are. There is such a story that I think the Kaviyasha brings this even. My father sharing it with me as a little boy. The Ramban is like Ba'omer, goes on a trip with his Talmidim. And they had just finished a huge, big Navy ship. And it was on the sand, and somehow they were like rolling it, and they could not get it into the water. And it sunk into the sand. Bad enough when a ship sinks into water, but when a ship sinks into sand, you really got problems. And everyone is standing. Then the king is reviewing this. He's standing. This is supposed to be the great launching of the ship. You know, they take the bottle, crack it against the ship, right? And the ship cracks. How does it go? And the bottle stays off. And here the ship is sinking into the sand. And the Ramban told one of his Talmidim that he could say Hashem's name and swish, the ship picks itself up and takes off into the water. It can do that. The ship can do that. It can pick itself up and go into the water. And someone overheard that and he ran to tell the king. So now the Ramban did not want his different versions of the story. But one version of the story is that the Ramban was summoned by the king and he said, so some say he didn't want to say the Shem and he ran off. And some say that he did put the ship into the water at that point because he felt it would have been a sakana for the Yidden had he not once. But he knew the king was going to try to hold him and keep using this, so he had to run off. But either way, so according to one version of the story, he told the king he can do it, but you have to give him a rowboat with a rowboat driver. So they got good old Antonio, who stopped eating his lasagna there in Italy, and he got into the rowboat and they rowed him out. And then all of a sudden, the Ramban said some kind of a shame, and that rowboat took off. And all of a sudden, they chased it, but it was like a streak of light that disappeared over the ocean and crossed the Mediterranean. And he was in some country in North Africa. And the Ramban was going to work his way to Eretz Yisrael. Antonio put down his lasagna and said, where am I? How did this happen? He said, get me home. It's not fair. He says, Rabbi, what do you do to me? I didn't do nothing to you. I want to go home. So the story goes that he still had the shame. So he said, Antonio, get back. I'm not sure his name is Antonio, but you know what I mean. Get back into the water. And the robot will take you back home. But when you get to land back to Italy, make sure you take the Shem out. I told him to give it over to the Yidden. Anyway, this thing starts flying over the thing. Antonio falls asleep. And when it gets to land, it keeps going because he didn't take the Shem out. And all of a sudden, there's this rowboat that's coming down downtown Rome, you know, flying through the streets. And, you know, there's a report of a rowboat coming down Fifth Avenue, and all the police are chasing it on horseback and everything else. And finally, he wakes up and he goes, what? What's going on here? And the rowboat comes to a stop in the middle, and everyone's standing around him. And they say that to this day, someplace in Italy, there's a statue of the story with the rowboat and so on. Point being that in our lives, we think everything is expected. The Rebbe Hashem says there's going to come one point in your life you're suddenly going to wind up someplace else. And you got to believe there's a rhythm, there's a plan to your life. But I'm so used to things happening and now there's a sudden change in my life. What's going to be? Don't get lost. Now is time to daven ma'ariv. In the Sefer Achas Sha'alti, he has this nice story that there was a Zayd, this baby was born after many years. And the Zayd was so excited, he decided to buy the baby a becher. I would have thought a rattle would have been more appropriate, but he decided to buy the baby a becher. And the baby's name was Chaim, or Yosef, I remember, one of the two. And he took the becher to the silver guy to put in the name, and the silver guy put in the name Yosef Chaim. He says, who's Yosef Chaim? The baby's name was Chaim, or Yosef, I remember. One of the two, not both. What am I supposed to do with this becher now? And the guy started to cry, it's his business. He says, I want you to pay for the becher. He said, really, was the Benish Chai's yard site, so his mind must have been on his name. So he said, so he felt bad. He did it because the Benish Chai's yard site, okay, he says, he just paid for the becher and took it home and never gave it to the kid. He says, a while later, the kid got very sick.
Oh, no.
And the Rabbanim said they should add the name, either Yosef to Chaim or Chaim to Yosef. And when the kid got better, he gave him the becher. So he says, you know, I hope he didn't get sick because the becher had to shtim. No, it's the other way around. But Rabbeinu Shalom prepared the unexpected. The fact that he didn't charge the guy and he had Rachmanis on him, said, fine, let it be, fine. I blew the becher. That prepared the Yosef Chaim to save him. In other words, you were maskim years beforehand that his name should be Yosef Chaim, that it could work, because that's how a Shini Hashem works. But Rabbeinu Shalom gives us dark moments in our life to daven ma'ariv, and that paves the way for Yeshua later, because he accepted it. That's the reason that the Schus later saved him. So the Vilna Gaon asks like this, Yaakov Avinu laid down the 12 stones. 12 stones started fighting. They all said, Allah yiniach tzadik, it's Roshi, the tzadik should put his head on me, the tzadik should put his head on me. And at the end, all 12 stones became one stone. So the Vilna Gaon said, Lamaisa Yaakov Avinu slept on a stone. So really, if Hashem was going to make a nest, why couldn't Hashem just make a nice pillow? I could have a nice warm felt pillow. Why did it have to be a stone? So the Gra says, Lamaisa, the stones were fighting. For Machloikis, the best you get is a rock. You're not going to get a soft pillow. Zayzok de Vilna Gaon. Which in a way explains why we sleep on a stone on Tisha B'Av, because that comes from Sinas Chinam. I remember once in yeshiva, as you know, Bacharim sometimes taunt each other. One guy said, last night, it was Tisha B'Av night, I slept instead of a pillow, I slept with my head on a stone. I didn't feel it. I was very comfortable. So another kid said, that's because min b'minay ain't a chaitzitz, he said, because there's a halacha, two of the same things that don't represent a break. It's like one. So the some cipher says, in kinnis, one of the kinnis is, we say is, we repeat Yaakov Avinu's words. So the Chasam Sofer says, why does that belong in Kinnis? That L'chayr, that's a Maila, that he found, that he had a Shuas Ashchina, he was Zaycha to the Beis HaMikdash. So really, according to what the Gra says, that the fact that the stones got together and formed one stone, it still came through, the stones are arguing with each other. Say the Kedushas Yamtiv had a rock on his desk. So once he stood up for something in town, and he had a lot of misnagdim, and someone threw a huge rock through the window. So he said, what he never understood is, he said that the hole in the window was much smaller than the rock. So where did the rock come from? So he said, the only thing he can think of is that they threw a bunch of little rocks, and they all started arguing which should be the rock, and it became one rock after it came in through the window. I say this every year. I had a Rebbe, I'll say his name, Vilma Lechter Gagan Eden. He was a big man in many different ways. And he sat down, there was like a wicker chair, and he sat down on it, and he kaplunked through, and everyone jumped up to help him up. So he said that what happened was the wicker chair had a bunch of little holes in it. When he, just like it says by Yaakov Avinu, all the stones started fighting and they decided to become one big stone. He said all the holes started fighting and it became one big hole, he said. That's how he came through it. That's how it was there. So he brings there, also in this Acha Sha'alti, interesting story. He says two people are standing in line in a department store. And one guy's like coughing away. Mom is coughing away. So Reuven's coughing away. So Shimon says to Reuven, like, you're coughing away. Like, you know, people will catch. Maybe you stand on the side a little bit. Fine. You say, yeah, I have this whole back. Okay, you want to go ahead of me. So go ahead of me. So he goes ahead of him. And just as he makes his purchase, boom, lights, camera, everything. He's the millionth customer. And he won a $10,000 gift certificate. And meanwhile, Reuven says, no, I was supposed to be the next guy. I let him go ahead of me. I was really the millionth customer. So they had this din Torah. So the Rav pointed out that there was such a story about the Chafetz Chaim once. Similar story. Where this guy kept buying lottery tickets and it wasn't winning. And along came up to see Yeshiva Bacher. And Yeshiva Bacher mentioned he bought a lottery ticket. So the guy thought, maybe the Yeshiva Bacher has a bigger schus than I do. So when the Yeshiva Bacher wasn't looking, he switched tickets. And Lamaisa, the Yeshiva Bacher won with the Balabas' ticket that was put into his pocket. So the Balabas came screaming, no, that's not fair. I stole the ticket. Meaning I switched the ticket, so it's really my ticket. The Yeshiva Bacher said, I don't know, this is the ticket I found in my pocket. What do you want? So they went to the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim laughed. He said, you think tickets win lotteries? He said, people win lotteries. And the Shemayim, it's decided who wins and who loses. Yaakov Avinu says, Achin yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh, I didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? It says Beferish, Yaakov Avinu passed the Har Maria. He said, Makam she'espalu avaisai, a place where my avais davened. I shouldn't go back and daven. And he turned around to run back. So what do you mean? I didn't know. What didn't you know? You knew this was the Har Maria. So the Chasam Sofer says that we say in Eicha, near Mikdashai. The Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila is Mechuvan Keneged the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata. Down here on this world is the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata. Way up there is the Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila. And that's what Yaakov Avinu said when he said, V'zeh Shara Shemayim, that the two Batei Mikdashos were Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh. Now, when the two Batei Mikdashos are aligned, the Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila and the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata are aligned, then it can't be destroyed. In order for the Beis HaMikdash to have been destroyed, the Eibishter had to disconnect the Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila from the Beis HaMikdash Lamata. And that's why we say in Eicha near Mikdashai, that at the time of the Churban, the two were not aligned, one on top of the other. Yaakov Avinu turns around to head back for the Maris HaMachpelah. All of a sudden, the sun sets on him, and the Maris HaMachpelah is right there. So he said, okay, Hashem brought the Beis HaMikdash Almata to me. That's very convenient. The only problem is that it's not Mechuvan connected to Beis HaMikdash Almata, because Hashem just took the Beis HaMikdash Almata and brought it to me. And that's how he went to sleep. When he went to sleep and he saw the ladder and he saw the Malachim going up and down, he said, it is. Hashem didn't just bring the Beis HaMikdash Almata, Hashem brought the Beis HaMikdash Almata also. The two, that's why he said, Manoira Hamokem Azeh. Yirmiyah said, Aye Neroisav, says the Chasam Sofer. Because he was talking about a Beis HaMikdash that was not Mechuvan, that was not aligned to the Beis HaMikdash Almata. And Yaakov Avinu said, Manoira Hamokem Azeh. So Yaakov thought that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that it's not connected. That's why we say it in the Kina. But what really happened here was an awesome thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only moved the Beis HaMikdash Almata, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved both the Beis HaMikdash Almata and the Beis HaMikdash Almaila. And when does Hashem do that? When you daven Maariv. At that moment in your life where you feel, oh no, I'm at the edge of a cliff and I'm already 1 foot off, and I can't even turn around, I'm slipping. My life is over, relationship-wise, financially-wise. I have nothing to live for. And you have the courage to daven Maariv, Hashem not only moves the Beis HaMikdash Almata, but even the Beis HaMikdash Almaila becomes where you are. The Eva Ushis, Eva means a hatred, people that can't get along with each other, a painful relationship. The Eva is Rashi Tevis, Eva Ushis is Rashi Tevis, Echa Yashva Badat Ha'ir. When the Shechina leaves, there's an Achizas Nachash. And the Chasam Sofer explains like this. When a person is going through a trying moment in his life, and you're that Yaakov Avinu, you lost your money, all you have is your stick. Ahead of you is mission impossible, you have no idea how you're going to get your life together, it's in shambles. If you daven Maariv, Hashem not only brings the Beis HaMikdash Almata, but brings the Beis HaMikdash Almaila toward you. But if you fall into a depression, if you give up, so what happens is, as the Shechina leaves, the greater the Ashrosa Shechina leaves, the more there's an Achizas Nachash, the more you fall into a depression. In other words, it's a crossroad. It's where you are. Ochen Yesh Hashem B'makam Azeh, Ochen Yesh B'makam Azeh is Rosh Etevis Eva. It's also Soif Etevis Neshama. That when a person is at this trying moment in life, you have a choice of either losing it totally or bringing the Makam HaMikdash to you. You ever see these ads of like, these three smiling lawyers, they go, injured, come to us. Call, you know, what are you smiling that the guy's injured? The guy calls up the lawyer firm, Shapiro, Shapiro, and Shapiro. Can I speak to Mr. Shapiro? He's not here. Can I speak to Shapiro? He's not here. Can I speak to Shapiro speaking? Mm-hmm. Right, they have their cheshbon. This man once told me, he works for an ad agency. He came up with a brilliant idea. He said, these trial lawyers that do injury things, they hired him. So he had a sign for the New York City buses. And the sign read like this: if you're hit by this bus, call this number. Said the MTA didn't want to take it. The ad. Kind of understand it. There are Yaakov Avinu moments where it looks like life itself is betraying us. I can't believe. I did such a terrible thing and it happened twice in the same week. What's happening? What's happening is there's a hashgacha on you now. It's a Maariv moment. You could either be Mamshech Hashruas Hashchina, or you can lose it. So again, this Achel Sha'alti, he says that a lady walks into a Menorah store before Chanukah in Yerushalayim. She says, what a gorgeous Menorah. She walks in with a carriage and a baby. And she says, can I show this Menorah to my husband? He has no place to park. I'm leaving the carriage with the baby here. And she runs out. I yell at Einenu. She disappears. I can't find her. All of a sudden, a lady comes in, my baby, where's my baby? Oh, here it is. And they realize, what did this lady do? She took a baby carriage that was left unattended, pushed it into the store, and used that as collateral to take out the menorah. She used someone else's baby as the collateral to take out the menorah. Good move, right? So there they had a whole dintaira. The owner of the menorah store thought that the salesperson should pay for the menorah, and the Rav Paskud was einus. They said the one who's really chayiv is the mother that left the unattended baby. But let's try to understand this. If you believe that a mother doesn't leave her child, then you know the menorah is coming back. If you believe that wherever you are, even where you're lost, Hashem is there, then you know the menorah is coming back. You know there's Hashruas Hashchina. I remember once hearing from a batchan, he said like this, you know how you see from this week's parsha Beferish that Yaakov Avinu wore a shtraimel? Where do you see in this week's parsha Yaakov Avinu wore a shtraimel? But Yetzi Yaakov Yiver Shav, Aviyela Charana. That proves Yaakov Avinu wore his Shtraimel. So how does it prove Yaakov wore his Shtraimel? He said he left Be'er Sheva, went to Charan. You think he went without his Shtraimel? That proves that he wore his Shtraimel, right? Not everything is clear. I'm not saying Yaakov Avinu wore his Shtraimel, but the idea, yes, there's a Shruas HaShchina here. Today's the yahrzeit of the Marsha. Yahrzeit of the Marsha. The Marsha writes like this in his Hakdama. He says, Kol yomai, all of my days, gedalti bein hachachamim. I grew up amongst the chachamim. V'yisi misavak, and I rolled bi'afa raglayim, in the dust of their feet. V'ani bar v'loy eda. I know nothing. Kidarke hachachma nelmumen. I don't know the secrets of the universe. V'al kein amartli, therefore I said to myself, this is what the Marsha writes. Don't try to dash in supernatural things. I don't know the hidden things. But when the things that Hashem gave me as a Yerusha, I just want to know pshat in the Gemara, in halachas and in agadas that I was mekabel for my rebbeim. And even that only with Talmidim. The Mashah is only Gemaras that he learned with his Talmidim, because he felt, so Chevra, what do you say pshat is? The hammering away of a pshat, that was real. The Marshal was, I don't want big pulpulim. I want, wow, what amazing lumdis. Wow, 16 kashas, 32 terutzim. He answered every single steer in the Rambam. No, I want to know pshat in the Gemara. I want to know pshat. That's it. I don't have to understand the world. I want to know what Rashi means. I want to know what Tosis means. And in the Pashtis, the Marshal was zeichet to his greatness. The Baal Shem Tov said on the Marshal, all chiburim until the times of the Marshal were written Beruach HaKadosh. Mashbiya, the pen to write. The Sheiris he saw from the Veledik, he says like this. He says, what does it mean they were written with Ruach HaKadosh? The Torah was Torah. The Ruach HaKadosh was Megala because they were Maisa Nefesh themselves to understand the simple pshat. Really, really, what did Rashi mean? What did the Rashba mean? They were Zoichah to a Ruach HaKadosh that revealed to them the emes of what Rashi meant. But that's even higher than Ruach HaKadosh, what Rashi meant, what Tosis meant. So they say in the Maisa Bichlach, it says this Maisa, that a man came to the Mashah, he said he was middle learning. So another person walked in like a very gevirish of a coveted guy, the Mashah stood up, turned around and walked with him to the door. So the man felt a little slighted. Him, yeah, me not. He says, told him later that he was a Gilgal of King Achav, so he had to have covered him because of covered Malchus, and part of his tikkun is going to be killed now. That's going to be part of his tikkun. There's going to be an accident later. I taught him the Marsha said, "Ain li esek b'nestaris." I don't know hidden things. But the answer is, when you're satisfied with a simple pshat of life, I don't have to understand everything, Hashem. Just my life for what it is, whether it's in your learning, whether it's in your life, Hashem shows you hidden things. They say that the Chazonish said that one of the reasons that Hungarian Jews survived more, or yeshivas and Hungarians survived more intact, is because they learned Marsha. The Kedusha of the Marsha, or the Kedusha of the actual Gemara. I learned by Rav Elia Chazan, Zecher Tzadik Avracha, was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Beh. I think today was also his Yartzeit. And he would often ask a kasha in Shir, and everybody would start arguing over the kasha, and he would say, Vefrek the kasha. And he would say, the Marsha asks his kasha. And he would close the Gemara and walk out. He said, you didn't prepare for the Shears. You didn't prepare for the Shears, so why should I give you the Shear? That was only part of the Shear I understood when he said that. So Rav Baruch Beh, they say, learned the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. And the Gemara says that Yonis ben Azil was unbelievable. He knew everything. Dover Gadol and Dover Katan. Dover Gadol was Maisa Markava. He knew the heavenly chariots of Shemayim. Dover Katan was Havayas Davaya Verov. He knew what Havaya Verov says. Rav Baruch Beh was thunderstruck when he learned it with the Talmidim. He said, Havayas Davaya Verov, what Havaya Verov says is Dover Katan. He said he couldn't get to himself. He walked back and forth. Obviously, that was in his way of learning with the Talmidim, because it wasn't the first time he saw the Gemara. And he came back, he said, this is pshat. He says, imagine you want to find out about a boy for your daughter, right? You ask a chassan information about a boy for your daughter. One says, this boy, an amazing boy. Remember, I heard this as a kid, the first time from Yehuda Oldham, the first time I heard this word. There's an amazing boy. Yeah, what's so amazing about him? He was walking on a bridge, a lady was walking with a carriage, and the baby flew out of the carriage, into the water, and this boy jumped on the railing, wow, into the water, saved the baby, freezing water, amazing. What about the other boy? Oh, I don't know anything. Glad that I do know, like on his yeshiva, on the corner there was an old almana who couldn't walk out of her house. Every Friday he went to her and said, good morning, you need anything for Shabbos, but nothing like heroic. So Maisa, which is a better shidduch for your daughter? So he says, it's not to take away from the hero, but it doesn't prove anything. Because the fact that you saw a baby fall into the water and you jumped in afterwards, of course, you let a baby drown. Right. But to go and knock on this old almana's door, this yeshiva bachur, and ask her, shnizang v'shabbos, nothing compelled him to do that. For that, he was a baal bechira. If you want to know the mehus of who the person is, this, what he says about the second boy is much more informative than the first boy. So he says, avay is the avay of a rava, is a davar katan, because that's like jumping off and saving the baby. Without that, you can't live. It's a davar katan, because that's pasha, you need that. But ma'aser merkava, you could live without knowing ma'aser merkava. It's the pashtus of life, that's the greatness. But that's where it is. Rav Moshe says it, why is a besmedrish greater than, he says, Yaakovinu slept over here. He said, if I would have known, I wouldn't have slept here. So Lamaise said, for 14 years, Hashem Ve'ever, he never went to sleep. But the Eibishter didn't bring the Makom HaMikdash to him. Now he goes to sleep, the Eibishter brings the Makom HaMikdash to him. It says, Ramosha, because the real Hashruas HaShchina comes in everyday life. You want to be superhuman? You're superhuman. You're a Malach. You don't sleep for 14 years. That's very nice. But the everyday struggle, you're alone and you're sleeping in the forest, you feel so lonely when you go to sleep and you work on your Amunah, that's when the Beis HaMikdash comes to you. That's where it is. That's where you are. A story that was, right, years and years ago, it was a terrible train crash. In those days, they didn't have switches. There was a guy stood there with a big light. So the question is, did he signal properly? So they called him in. He's going to have a court case. He's going to be in big trouble. They called him in for the court case. They asked him when the train was coming east, what did you do with the light? He said, I went like this, and I went like that, and I went like this, and I went like that. I did all the signals right. You swear to tell the truth? Yeah. Okay, they let him go. He goes, shoo. And his wife says, wow. He says, what so shoo? If you knew you were so right. He says, they didn't ask me one question. What? Whether I turned the light on. That they didn't ask me. He says, you know, we want heroics. Turn the light on to everyday life, an appreciation of everyday life. That's where there's Ashuas Hashchina. In Parshas Vayetze, there's no pay or samach. Because Yaakov Avinu was in such a rut. He said, you have to keep going. You have to keep moving. And the mother of Hashem used to say, you know what we have today? You know what the problem is today? There used to be the Nesayin Ha'ayini, the Nesayin Ha'aysha. You see, some people were rich, they had their tests. Some people were poor, they had their tests. What we have today is the poor have the Nesayin Ha'aysha. Because we all have a standard, we all have to keep up to the standard. That's the problem. In the times of the Mashah, there was this thing, like people were becoming shtari. One of the shtari things was, when you went to the base of Merchitz on Friday, to the bathhouse, that you hired someone to carry your clothes behind you. That was like a shtatz. The Gemara talks about it. He carried his clothes to the base of Merchitz. That was like you walked to the bathhouse, you were ashamed. And you know, somebody carried your clothes behind you. And it became that every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or I should say every Moshe, Zavel, and Fievel, had to have a guy carrying his clothes. And there was an economic crisis. The Mashah was very much on MS. The Mashah writes at one point, those people that buy Elias with money that they didn't earn honestly, and they're relying on a Teira, a Magoy, a Yid, you know, that they're doomed. Their money is gone. It's not going to stay by you. Some cipher says, you know, the Nagdim and Ben Gurion, right? They made a deal. If it doesn't rain by this and this day, he has to give up all of his water. And the day came, and he said, the sun set, ha-ha. He said, God, you know, Kiddush Hashem. The sun came back out. So the Gemara later says, they found the Einikel of Nagdim and Ben Gurion. She was wandering around. She didn't have a red scent to her name. She was eating from the stool of animals. Maybe there's some weed over there. So some cipher says, because Lamaisa, he really owed him the money. The sun came out. That was miraculously, but Al-Pid Teva, the sun set. So as Kiddush Hashem, fine, he won. But he privately should have paid him. The Mashah talks about this a lot. And the Mashah felt that people were doing all kinds of business shtick because they had to keep up with you have to be a chash of a guy in town. You don't have a house in the country. And who are you? And I'm looking at you. You don't have a guy carrying your clothes. So he ordered them to stop. Because what happened was two Yidden were arrested smuggling something and they were going to be hung. And the Mashah says, that's it. And he sat in front of the bathhouse Friday, the Mashah himself, and he said, if anyone comes with a gaba, he's not letting him in. Now, most people came with their gaba. They saw the Mashah sitting there. They did a quick about face. Quick, give me your stuff. I'm his gaba. Yeah, they were embarrassed. But there's always a guy that's in the Ibr Chacham. There were these three, you know, Mechatzafim. Let him stop us. And they came with their real, real expensive clothes and a gaba. And the Mashah looks at them and he set up his apostolic, V'yachasa ofer al ha'aretz. And all of a sudden, these rich people were walking, and this black gook, like black mud, started to rise. And these were the really, really expensive clothes, and they were like holding it up. And the Gabon were like holding it higher and higher, that we can't hold any higher. So at one point, the rich people put the gabli on their backs, and then they were standing on their heads, and they're like, you know, like, and they're standing on their tippy toes, and it was like, The only problem was, the only one that saw this black dust were the rich people themselves. Nobody else saw it. So you can imagine the comedy skit. These guys are like walking down the street, holding these guys, like holding the feet of his gabbai, and he's trying to hold the velvet, you know, shirt really high. And then they chat what was happening. No one else sees it. And they begged the marshal Mechil, and he said, I'm only moichli you on the tonight that you get everyone out. But that the symbol of the marshal is, what does the Gemara mean? The symbol of the marshal is, I'm not doing gymnastics, Rabbanu Shalom. I want to be a good, everyday person. A shachris mincha, and yes, ma'ariv person. Because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Beis HaMikdash. The one on top and the one on bottom aligned toward you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.